Okay, this is Bez Hashem. This is the last year of the season in Ashkof and Musar. In particularly, we were discussing the Sefer Orchei Tzaddikim. This happens to be the 26th year, by the way, for the season. So some years it works out to 28, some years it works out to 30. So it all depends, I guess, how many chasanas or situations in the middle. So we had some breaks. Maybe it's kedai to take just a few minutes. In our discussion so much about Musar, we discussed a little bit the personality of one of the greatest Bala Musar of all time. To take just a few minutes, is someone that deserves to be a little bit familiarize ourselves with him, although generally we know the name, but yet quite a bit of details that are not so readily available to everyone. And that is the famous Mir Mashgiach Rabbi Ruchim Lvovitz, someone who was a Nifter 1936, the great Mashgiach. Could I just to mention the assessment, it takes one to know one. To speak about great people, it's very worthwhile to hear the assessment of equally great people, those who are really a maven on someone who is great, and someone who is respected highly by his peers, and to hear what they have to say about them. Certainly that gives us a little bit of a better picture and a more realistic assessment of the personality that we talk about. For example, Rav Dessler himself, probably one of the greatest Jewish thinkers, in the 20th century, Rav Dessler writes, in the Michtam Elio, in the Sefer, in the classical Sefer Michtam Elio, describing the Mir Mashgiach Rabbi Yeruchim, he writes and says the following words. He says, Echod HaMiyuchad Migdoyla HaMamikim. Is one of the very unique ones who the great depth, one who had tremendous depth looking into the personalities of people. Asher yodati bedoiri chochom v'kodesh. In addition to that, he says, great chochom and someone who was a holy man, describing Rabbi Yeruchim. One of the fundamental things, of course, of all of the Bala Musar that runs common. The basic idea when we talk about Bala Musar, because Bala Musar were experts in human behavior. And I think this has been demonstrated over and over again. People fool themselves many times when they do things, even things that are virtuous, even things that are righteous. But they fool themselves into thinking that they are doing it for idealistic reasons. And yet, if you really analyze and you go deep down into the root of many, many people, you'll find out that there are totally different motives that drive them. You can have many, many people doing the exact same thing, but for totally different reasons. Of course, important thing is at the end of the day, something good comes out of it, hopefully. So that certainly helps. But in terms of actually evaluating the quality of any deed or any action, it really has to be analyzed and to be understood. And again, to be honest, to realize exactly what is driving me to do a particular situation. And the Bala Musar were able, and this was part of the avodah of a person, is to really be able to evaluate his character traits and to recognize what his weaknesses are, and to be able to understand why he's doing certain things, and by arriving at the root of the problem, that certainly will help him to be able to work on eliminating, right, all these negative issues. Because many times, and so similarly as in dealing in medicine, you only treat the symptoms, but you don't really get down to the root of the problem, so you haven't really cured anybody, you just merely have dulled or maybe numbed the pain. And when it comes to refinement of character, treating the symptoms is far not enough. We're trying to talk refining the character, not the outcome many times of what the character does, but actually refining the actual character and the person. And again, so this was a very special, this showed the greatness, the great knowledge and the understanding of human behavior, which is runs through the gamut, of all the various different character traits of all the Bala Musar. And many, many psychologists who has studied, of course, Musa as well, told me personally many times, some of you know him also, I just don't want to mention the name right now, but many of the stuff that he studied, he said, he found out later on that basically going through the writings of Rasul Salamta and so on, so all of this has been already long been said and been understood. And as we see, as we go on from time to time, stuff that we see that had been written hundreds and hundreds of years ago, in the great, whether it's Chovos Avodos, whether we talk about the Orchei Tzaddikim, Tzaddikim, right? We talk about Ramchal, any of the great, great people. We understand that all of these things, how they understood in terms of appreciating and evaluating one's deeds and one's motivations, and to be able to assist us in giving us advice how to be able to better ourselves and to be able to refine our character. Rabbi Ruch in particular, we're talking about the Mir Mashgiach, was a Talmud of two areas. It was a Talmud of the Alter Slobodka. The Alter was the great Baal Musar, and also of Kelm. So these are the two schools, you know, Kelm and Slobodka. The Simcha Zisla of Kelm. And Rabbi Ruchem had the benefit of being a Talmud of both areas, the school of Slobodka, the Alter of Slobodka, and as well of Rabbi Simcha Zisl of Kelm. After he got married, it's interesting, the first 8 years he basically sat down and he studied Shas. People many times make a mistake thinking that a Mashgiach and all that he knows is Musar. But he has no Shaykhis, you know, to Gemara, Tosfos, and Rishonim. Because usually you write the Lomdish Yeshiva said by the Rosh Yeshiva, and the Mashgiach is the one who says the Musar. So he said to yourself, okay, that's what all he knows is Musar. And the truth is, many, many of the great Mashgichim were tremendous Gedolim B'Torah as well. You can go down the line. And with the emphasis and the contribution in terms of dealing with Talmidim, was they worked on the Musar area and the Ashkof area. But they themselves have excelled in their personal lives to be great Gedolim B'Torah, whether it was Rebbe Eliyahu Lapyan. You can go down the line, all the famous different Mashgichim. And the Rebbe Ruchem was no different, that he's actually sat down for 8 years and then he studied Shas, and then interestingly before Mir he was accepted to being the Manal Ruchni Naradin, you know, based upon the recommendation of the Chofetz Chaim himself. Chofetz Chaim himself recommended that Rabbi Yeruchim becomes a Manal Ruchni in Radin, and was only afterwards where Rabbi Yeruchim is transferred to the Mir Yeshiva, and he goes down as becoming known as the Mir Mashgiach, Rabbi Yeruchim the Mir Mashgiach. A very, very special or noticeable situation that happened, actually an incredible episode. It happened in, which we say, in Schus of Rabbi Yeruchim, where the Bnei Yeshiva were saved in Mir, and that was on a particular Rosh Hashanah. Particular Rosh Hashanah when all the Bnei Yeshiva were in Yeshiva in the large Beis Medrash in Mir, and they were davening, and they recognized that outside there was a whole battalion of Russian soldiers that have come. It happened to be on the day of Rosh Hashanah, and the idea was they surrounded the Chosid, they surrounded the yard of the Beis HaKnesses, of the shul, and not allowing anyone to come and to go, and they were actually searching for draft dodgers, those who evaded themselves and avoided going into the army. And one thing is sure, they come to the Mir Yeshiva, all of them were draft dodgers. none of them conscripted, allowed themselves to be drafted into the army. And therefore, there was a very big question what one does at this particular time. Here on the one hand, it happens to be Rosh Hashanah. Logic dictated, it's not a good idea that all the Bnei Yeshiva remain in one spot, because then they single-handedly just able to catch them all of the time. Maybe it would be a good idea that they disperse themselves throughout the town if possible, if there would be such a ability. And the davening maybe in different parts of Mir, different shuls, different areas. So even if some are caught, so only some are caught. Not having them all delivered on a silver platter, all of them being confined to one area. And it was Rabbi Yeruchim who said, no, he says, no one leaves the yeshiva, but rather we should take the opportunity. It is Rosh Hashanah, it is the Yom Adin, and therefore if we do extra tefillah, we put an extra effort in our davening in the Rosh Hashanah tefillah, so Bez Hashem, he says, nothing will happen. And this is the way it was, even though it seemed very strongly against all logic, because here you have the area, you're surrounded with all of these Russian soldiers, and we know what they were after, and they were very seriously after. And it would not take much to be successful in being able to arrest, you know, all of these Bnei Yeshiva. And yet this is what Yeruchim said, it's a Rosh Hashanah today. Today we should be concentrating on our tefillah. And through the schus of our davening, he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help. Now, it is true that in the Mir Yeshiva, especially on Rosh Hashanah, when you can imagine what kind of a davening it was, I mean, every yeshiva, you know, they say yeshiva on Rosh Hashanah, which is a special tefillah, B'chlav Yom Neroim Tkufa Elul, the yeshiva experience, but that Rosh Hashanah was, they say, was higher up from any level of any Rosh Hashanah davening, even the Mir, which was always on a high level on a Rosh Hashanah davening, but this Rosh Hashanah was extra special because, again, they knew what was at stake over here. there. And it turns out, it's very interesting, that the soldier, for some reason, going after, they started searching all over Mir, going to all of the other shuls, and for some reason, they did not at all search in the Mir Yeshiva. They were searching, not that they abandoned search, they were searching, but they searched in the wrong places. They were searching over here, they're searching over there, all over the places, except the Mir Yeshiva. They did not bechlal search, it's like as if they didn't see it. They just omitted it. They were just blinded to the fact that there's something here, Yeshiva, with so many bachrim, all you have to do is here, go ready to take them. And they were saved. So that was something, an incredible ma'aseh, which of course was attributed to the schus, of course the davening, but it was the schus of the Rabbi Yeruchim. Yeruchim, who said that this is the way it's going to work out, and you have nothing to worry about. One of the mashgichim was a mashgich in the Lomji Yeshiva, name was Moshe Rosenstein. The Moshe Rosenstein writes in one of his svarim, he says, "Hine zehu ish ha-me'ule." He says, this elevated person, Rabbi Yeruchim, Hoyerishin, this is the first person that I really saw a dugma. I really saw a sample, he says, Tavnis emiti shel chokhmas amusar. Someone who really fits the description of a person who possesses chokhmas amusar, this is really the first one who really is able to fit the picture completely, the shleimus of someone who possesses chokhmas amusar. And he writes, he says, as I knew Rabbi Yeruchim, he says, Kulo yofe v'noim, entirely beautiful. Yeah, many times a person has a lot of milas, but he has also quite a bit of chesroinus. But on Rabbi Yeruchim, he said, he was Kulo yofe v'noim. He was all around, he was yofe, like a person without blemish, he said. Kulo echativa achas shel chokhmas hamusar v'yiras Hashem. This entire being, was one shtick, it just was one piece. Kulo what? Consisted of one thing. Chokhmas hamusar, he said, in yiras Hashem, tohoira, pure Yerushalayim, and also the love and the ahava he had to people in general. He loved people, was ready to give of himself, lasos toiv, to do toivis on behalf of mankind. Especially, he says, when it came to Bnei Torah. The interesting thing is that in the Sefer Das Chochem Musa from Yeruchim, not very usual that one writes about himself, but Yeruchim writes to one of the Mekoymus in the Sefer. He writes, Mirim Om the Aldati, from the time that I can remember, Lohalachti b'machshova b'tela. I never walked around with an idol machshava. That's a person can able to say about himself. Never had a machshava b'tela. Every machshava, every thought that he had was positive. I mean, it was something, was not. So this is amazing to show what a kind of a tzaddik this person is. Is his mind, whatever went through his mind, never was something just merely idle thought. It was always something that had to do in the area of Avodas Hashem. And there was no dvarim b'tela, no machshava b'tela going through his mind. Interesting thing, he says also that he writes in one of his letters that when he was in Lithuania, believe it or not, you know, as we say, he's known as the Mir Mashgiach. He writes in a letter that he had certain, he said, plans to leave Mir. Something that's not so known. He had certain plans, he says, to leave Mir, he says, in order to be able to go back to Kelm. Interesting. After being in Mir, he had plans many, many times, machshoves, he said. And machshoves to leave Mir and to go. However, he says, Ro'isi min ha-shomayim kam me'ikuvim. I saw Shomayim doesn't allow me. Not as many, my plans were always thwarted. Whatever situation was, when I tried to really carry them out, it never worked out. So although I had quite a number of machshoves to leave Mir and to go back to Kelm, is what I saw that Shemaim is not allowing me. Shemaim insists that I remain in Mir, he says. As a matter of fact, he says, once what he did was, we spoke about this idea also, if you remember, with regarding Rabban and Kotler, about doing the Goyal HaGrill. You know, the Goyal HaGrill is when someone wants to make a decision. You're not sure which way to go, you have to know how to do it. You say, open up a Chumash, right? I mean, that's oversimplifying it. If you open up a Chumash and your eyes follow, the first pasuk that your eyes follow, is supposed to give you direction, looking at that pasuk to tell you what to do. And many Gedolei Yisrael don't have the ability, knew how to do that, but Rabbi Pian did it, Rabbi Kotler did it, and so on and so forth. But it's not for everybody. First of all, you have to know how to do it. And the Chlal, you have to be a person who's worthy that this is going to work for you. So in any case, so he says, so he also applied, he did this Goyal HaYadua, he says. It's the Goyal HaGro. But he said, the well-known Goyal, he says, I did it once. And again, regarding the decision, should he leave Mir or should he stay? And his eyes, he says, falls on the Posik. lo yesuru memenu, the poles of the Aron remain stable, do not remove them. So he considered himself, he was like the pole of the Aron, like he was like the poles of the yeshiva. He was like holding up the yeshiva. And lo yesuru memenu, the poles, the badei Aron have to remain, the staves, the poles have to remain where they are, lo yesuru memenu, not to remove it. So here again he saw that as being a siman for himself. And also, he was in Parshas Miketz discussing the Parshas of the dreams of Paroi. He would also discuss many of his own dreams. The only difference was, he says, his dreams were certain like prophecies. He saw many things in a dream about things about the future, and they came true. And many of the dreams were not related always even for the immediate. Right, for the immediate, but many things were messages that will take place while later, quite a bit later. And the way that he saw them, this is the way that it happened. As a matter of fact, he says that it was on a Shana Rabbah, he saw a dream about the world turning itself over. He said, being into world turmoil, and that was just before the outbreak of the First World War, World War I. It was something that he said he saw in a dream. It was on a Shana Rabbah. He mentioned that. And it was on the last day. I should mention that in one of the times of his particular dreams, he gets up in the morning and he says that it was during the wartime. He gets up in the morning, he says, you know, he says that today in Kelm was Nifter, he says, the son of the altar, Reb Nochem Zev. The altar from Kelm had a son, Reb Nochem Zev. He says, Reb Nochem Zev was Nifter. He was the son of the altar of Kelm. You have to realize, during the wartime, there was no means of communication. There's no ways of getting any information, right, being transmitted from one place to another. He got up just like that, and he said, now he says, today he says, Reb Nochem Zev, he says, the son of the altar was Nifter, and Talmidim had recorded that particular day that Reb Yeruchim said this, and they found out that exactly it was on that day. They found out later, they were able to get information, it was on that day that the son of the altar was Nifter. Exactly the way Rabbi Yeruchim had said it, and had in fact had predicted it. Just want to mention, he says that came before his Petira, just want to mention, so he said the following thing. He says, I had a dream, but this dream was different, he says, than all my other dreams. All my other dreams, he says, I not only saw the dream, I also saw the Pisroin, which is the interpretation to a dream. A dream has a Pisroin, right? Like Paro had a dream and he looked for interpreters. So he says, in my dream, I saw the dream and also saw the meaning of the dream. Dreams can have quite a few different ways of interpreting a dream. So, however, he says, now I had a dream, he says, which is without an interpretation, he says. And then he said, and who knows, and he left it blank. And who knows what, this is the way he said, and who knows what, so on and so forth. And certainly, he says, it was within less than 2 weeks that he was Nifter, and that it was understood that there was some remez that he was trying to, so without coming out right and saying it, but trying to relay the situation that this is what he has been told in the Shemaim, that his time has come to leave the world. So just mentioning again, okay, this is the greatness a little bit of Rabbi Yeruchim Nemir Mashgiach. And so when we learn Musa a little bit, so we have at least the opportunity to come up just a little bit closer. Every step closer, a little bit, in what our potential is to be able to realize the refinement of character and to work on our weaknesses. We are now, Rabbi, let's take a look at the Yochas Tzadikim and Daf Kuf Yud Dalad. We are doing Kuf Yud Dalad in the bottom, in the Yochas Tzadikim that we have, starting the Ato. It's in the bottom there, you'll have it, Viato. Right, Kuf Yudal in the bottom. We are just remembering the Shar HaZrizes. He's talking about the importance of, right, Zrizes doing something with zeal, alacrity, not doing something, you know, laid back, not doing something, you know, like by force, or doing something merely by rote, or being, you have to force to do something. But the Nyonim of Zrizes, something idea is of a person not procrastinating, and really taking charge of that which is important, and to go ahead and do it swiftly. So now he goes on into many different areas where Zrizis, the importance of Zrizis, comes into play in our lives, many, many areas of our life. So here again, he says, Va'ato, he says, and now, Yesh l'chol l'hovin, v'dvorem anu hagim tomit, You have to understand in things that apply all the time, v'derech b'nei yodem l'sa'atzil behem. There are situations, he says, that are important all the time, and yet people, really, they neglect it, and they are sort of like lazily when it comes to these things. For example, Kegoin, im sorachato lira shum dover b'sefer. Tell us something very, very simple situation. Let's say there's a need for you to look up something in the sefer. So many times you're just lazy. They say, no, I'll look that up tomorrow. There's something that you have to look up. So they say, you're just not in the mood just to get out of the chair now to go ahead and do it. So the Chassadikim says, listen, don't wait till tomorrow. Don't wait even a few hours later. Do it now, he says. He says, go, he says, and be zealous and go and bring the sefer. You know, interesting thing, I should mention that the Trumas Hadeshin, you know, one of the Kadmoinim, one of the really early, you know, Avraham Mefarshim and Poiskim, there's a sefer called Leket Yosher from the Talmud of the Trumas Hadeshin. And he brings something very interesting. He says that in the yeshiva there was a time that the Berachim was sitting and learning, so they had sitting around the table. And the table was a type of a table which was a revolving table, which means to say all you had to do is turn the table, right? And what's over there becomes over here, what's over here becomes over there. The advantage of that table was that if you needed a sefer that was on the other side, you didn't have to get up to get the sefer. All you had to do is turn the table around. The Trumas Hadeshin said no. He says, when it comes to Torah, he said, part of the amelus b'Torah, toiling in Torah, is not just in the actual learning, but also giving koyach, to show that what? That I am ready to sacrifice and give of myself. And this seems to be something so trivial. That someone as great as Trumas Hadeshin said, you want a sefer, go up and get it. The whole idea is to train ourselves, right? When it comes to something worthwhile, to actually, right, use our koyach. And if it's necessary to use koyach, and not really to try to find the easier way out. It becomes part of habit and always to find the easy way out. And so when it comes to Torah, you get credit for every extra effort that you put in. So Torah is something that's kedai and one should put in any effort that's possible. Many years ago, still in the old base medrash that we had, so it goes back in the early 80s, it was somewhere at Kufa. We had here Rav Zsolti, Zerchon Lebrocha, was the Rav Rosh of Yerushalayim, and he gave a drosha in the old shul. And one of the things that he mentioned was, you realize that you take a look at the shas that we have today. We call it the Vilna shas. That's the, because all the shas basically follow the style, you know, of the Vilna shas. That was considered to be once the shas, the Vilna shas. That was the shas with all the hidurim. That was the shas that had all the mefarshim in the back, and so on and so forth. You might realize, you know, when you open up the shas and you take a look, you know, when the mesecta is over, and then you turn, you know, you turn to the back. So you have very conveniently, we have quite all the mefarshim. I mean, all. You have the basic mefarshim. You'll have the marshal, right? You have the maram. You have the marshal. And go back. You have the ran, right? And you have the riff. You have in the back. Now the truth be told is, going back years ago in Europe, you know, the Rif and the Ran were not always in the Shas. In other words, you had separate volumes. My father brought out of Europe, you know, before the war. He brought many, many Sfarim after the war. The Sfarim that were printed from before the war. He had a separate, yeah, besides it was in the Shas also, but he also had separate volumes of Ran and Rif. In other words, they were printed separately. But ultimately, you know, as we say, they were put into the Shas itself. So Rav Zsolti pointed out, he says, originally, for example, when the Mashal came out hundreds of years ago, it was not in the Shas, it was a separate sefer. Ultimately, when the Vilna Shas was printed, so the Vilna Shas, they decided to put in addition to the Shas, we're going to put the Mashal in, which was a separate sefer originally. We'll put the Mashal in, we'll put in the Ran, we'll put in the Rif, and so on and so forth. So Rav Zsolti said, the reason, he says, because Baruch Hu sees, he says, the Yeridus HaDoris, he sees how the generations are falling. We are not so zealous, we are not so swift, we are laid back, and we don't want to use Koyach. People are lazy and try to find the easier way out. Imagine if the Ran and the Rif would not be printed in the Gemara, he said. Because Baruch Hu saw, in other words, if a person, let's say, needed to learn Ran, he would have to get up of his chair, climb up the ladder and pull out a Ran, and say, I'll do it tomorrow, he says. I'm just sitting now very comfortably. I'm going to go take a Ran. If the person wanted to learn a Mashal, and it'd be a separate sefer, he had to get up of his chair, because Baruch Hu saw people not going to do it. So what did Baruch Hashem do? He planted into the minds of the printers an idea, put it right into the back, put it into the Shas itself. So it doesn't take any effort. So Rav Zsolti, but today we're so lazy we don't even want to turn the page to the side. He says, we're so lazy, he says. It's in the back already. The village is shaking. It's just too much shirk even to do that. Even drying. So this is the Yeridus HaDoris. This is the way it is. So the Yochai Tzadikim, talking about hundreds and hundreds of years ago, is that you need a sefer, says, part of the mitzvah is go and get that sefer, he says. Don't say, I'll do it tomorrow. It's like, you know, it's not going to happen. If you're going to push it off, so he says, also the gamishtadel lechapish or inyan shetachpois. Also be mishtadel to search for the topic that you need. Sometimes it takes also effort, you know, to go and search the topic. Yeah, it's safer. Not go look for it. So I'm going to go start looking. Yeah, it's easier. I just want to know. He says, there's some information that you need. Find the safer. Search the topic that you need. And also, many times, is you have to solicit information to ask someone. That also takes tircha. Especially, in the old, going back in the early days, no telephones or anything. So you have to ask someone. What it might mean sometimes is, you know what, get out of your chair, and maybe walk 5 blocks, or 6 or 7, you know, to your rov, to your rabbi, to your shishiva, to your tam chuchem, to ask him. So I don't want to do that. So he says, no. The gam tehezor, the tehezor is leilach velishol memisho yedei adover. That's also part of this resist. Part of the middle is to be zealous about that. Not to be lax about that. To go and ask someone who knows the answer. If you don't know the answer yourself. He gives an example also. If an oni comes to your house and asks for bread, and you may have to go someplace to fetch it. Al toima, do not respond. Don't respond to the poor man, I'm not able to go and bring the bread. But in fact, go with zrizis, go with zeal to bring it. As a matter of fact, he says go with zeal, especially the oni might be very hungry. As a result, you know, so it's not just a question of zrizis on your part for your sake doing the mitzvah, but because the longer it takes, the man is suffering. So it's a question of relieving a person from his suffering. We know, we might remember the story of Nochem Ish Gamzu. Nochem Ish Gamzu was a great tzaddik, and he was known by the name Ish Gamzu because he always said Gamzu L'Toivo. That's a very big madrega, that no matter what happens in life, he would always see only the good. And he would say Gamzu L'Toivo, the Gemara Masech Tistain is Daf Chof Aleph. And Gemara tells us that Maisa, that Nochem Ish Gamzu, the great tzaddik that he was, that he became blinded, and he became incapacitated, his hands, his feet, and so on and so forth. And one of his Talmidim saw him. He said, Rebbe, you're a tzaddik Gomer, you're such a great tzaddik. So why is it if you're such a great tzaddik, how do I see you like this? He said, Loma also l'chokach. How is it possible that a person on such of your stature, such a great tzaddik, you're blind, your hands, your feet, you're not able to move, you're not able to do anything. How did that happen to you? And Nochem Ish Gamzu again was Madrik Zadin. He accepted Hashem's judgment and said, it's my fault. I deserved it. Why did he deserve it? So he said, Bani, Ani Goram Tiliatzmi, he says, I was the cause of what happened to myself. How was he the cause? So he says, Shepamacha Sayyisim Alam Baderech. He says, he once was traveling on the road. And a matter of fact, he says, he had a load. He had a heavy load of food and drink on the Chamor. He had many Chamorim, as a matter of fact, and many donkeys. Right, that were laden with all types of food and drink, he said. And he said, came an oni and stopped me. And he asked and said, Rebbe Panasani, Rebbe, give me some food. And I was ready to give him food. But you know, instead of giving him right away, I said, let me unload first. So I started to unload, and unload. Meantime, the oni died. Now the truth is, he did not know that the oni is going to expire like that. Had he known, you can be sure. But the fact, he said, that he did not act swiftly enough, he indicted himself for that. He considered he took the responsibility. The fact that he delayed giving the oni as soon as possible, that he could have done it quicker, even though in his own mind, certainly, he didn't know that such a serious situation, but he indicted himself because the man didn't have to die. He didn't have to die. Had he given him right away? So what did he do? So he took upon himself the punishment, and he said, the eyes that allowed to see you and not recognize your situation, he said, let those eyes be punished. And that's what happened. And he says, the hands that did not act swiftly enough, right, to assist you, the hands, and so on and so forth. So again, so the Orcha Sadikim is telling us the same thing. Go bezrizis and bring the bread to the Oni. Go quickly, great quickly, and bring him the bread that you're going to bring him. In every area in life, you have choices. Even when you're going to do something, do it bezrizis, right? Or just do it, we say, haphazardly. He gives another example. Imtovoi little yodecho. Let's say you want to wash your hands. A person wants to wash his hands. For example, he wants to eat bread. So he has to wash. But he has one problem. The problem is with the water. Either does not have enough water, he has little water, because there's a minimum shear, a revius of water that you need for an Atilus Yadayim. So he doesn't have quite enough water. Or maybe the water is unfit. Right? Let's say the water is unfit. It's dirty, it's putrid, it's dirty water. Well, let's say there's another problem. The problem is not in the water, because you have to have a proper utensil. To do an Atilus Yadayim, you have to have a kli, what's called a proper kli. If the vessel is cracked, right, and loses its shame kli, it's not kosher for until Siddayim. So he says, "Oy ma kli eino kosher kol kach," or maybe the kli, maybe the utensil that you have, right, is not halachically acceptable. Kegoin sheish boi sedek, for example, has a crack or a split. Vata roev lechol, and yet you are hungry to eat. We're not talking about that you're starving in the daichas v'shom. So you're hungry. So he says here also to have self-control. A person might very be easily persuading. He'll persuade himself. Al teviyacho tavoscho, don't allow your tivi, your desire, lehokil benetilus. So you'll say, hey, listen, I don't have the water now. I don't have the cup. So I'll just forego the washing. Say, no. Get up and pursue. You can find water. At least try. Maybe your neighbor. Maybe somebody else. He says, you know, don't allow your tivi to demean, right, the mitzvah of Netilas Yadayim. But rather what you should be doing is, right, go with zeal and do it with excitement. Be happy that you're still being able to find a way to do the mitzvah properly, to bring water and the appropriate kli for Netilas. Another thing he says, it's very interesting how the Torah directs every area in life, talking about something human nature, you know, bodily function, using the facilities. And we know the Gemara talks about there's no area that is not covered by halacha. Every area in life is governed by halacha. No, so he says with tzorich zrizus b'yoser, one of the areas that a person needs zrizus, which means should not be lax, but to do it right, to do it swiftly. Ishla yishin nekavav gedoyim uketanim. Person should not delay using the facilities if he has to go to the bathroom. Sometimes people delay just because of choice or their laziness. You know, I'm just busy doing something now. Right? And he said, one should not delay. Whether it's gedoilim, means bowel movements, or ketanim, you know, the smaller. Afilu rega echod. Shlo yavar aloy tishaktsu. As a matter of fact, the Gemara says, if a person holds himself back, unless you have no choice, you know, you're a compromised situation. We're not talking about that. So that person says, okay, I'll just do it. So then, because there's a lav about tishaktsu, which means do not make yourself revolting. By keeping waste, bodily waste, within your system longer than necessary, is called bal tishaktsu. The Torah says, lo tishaktsu, do not make yourself revolting. Besides that, the Gemara tells us, it could also be detrimental to one's health. Because the bodily waste, all the extra bacteria that the body is trying to expel, and you are containing it. By the way, all these things are gemaras. Gam hamashin nekovav, he says, also someone who withholds his nekovav going to the bathroom, maybe all of chaloyim gedolim. Means it's possible it brings of him could be serious illnesses sometimes. So again, so you see in every area you have zrizis involving every step of the way in different areas of one's life throughout the day. So many different encounters where the mitzvah of zrizis is there to tell you how to do it swiftly. Right? The tzorech zehiras also points out one should be careful, watchful. He says, "Uzriz lishma atzma benekiyas." Here's very interesting. I mean, people say, "Baruch Hashem, it's not such a problem to take showers appropriately because all you have to do is turn on a shower." Although you can be lazy for that too, but at least, I mean, yeah, can you imagine going back again? This is being written literally hundreds and hundreds of years ago, many, many centuries ago. And he says, no excuses. I mean, the person has to see to it that he is clean. And now he's talking about physical cleaning. Spiritual cleanliness, he talks about enough all the time. He's talking about physical cleanliness, hygiene. Physical cleanliness, he talks about. He talks about, look, shiyu bugod of nikim. One's clothes should be clean. The gufo inoki, and his body should be clean. He goes, lirchas piya tabas, he says, achar shosa socha. He talks about, when a person uses the facilities, he talks about specifically bowel movement. He says, to wash that area, the private area, look what he's saying. Because he says, the eefshel iskanech yofe b'limayim. He says, without water, you can't do a proper clean. He's so sensitive to the idea that to have proper clean oneself is to use actually water. I should mention what he's saying. Mishabura brings it down the halacha. Mishabura brings it down the halacha in Simen Gimel. right in the beginning of Aruch Chaim, right in the beginning of Aruch Chaim, and I'll quote you the lashon of the Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah says, "V'toyv lirchos piyat habas." The piyat habas is that private area. "V'toyv lirchos piyat habas b'mayim oy beroik." Even if you have to use saliva, so you wet the paper. The idea is to use mayim. And the Be'er Hetev goes down on the, you know, in the Shulchan Aruch you have the Be'er Hetev. The Hetev says, because if the area is not properly cleaned and there's something left, it's Yetochim that's even Ma'akev Tefillah, because Tefillah has to have a Guf Noki. The Davim one has to have a clean body. That's where you stand before Hashem, before Kodesh Baruch Hu. And if the body is not properly cleaned, right, it's not properly cleaned, and it's talking about that area which is very Shaykh, that, you know, things remain. So the Be'er Hetev brings the importance. That's why he emphasized about using Mayim and the Siddur of the Arizal. The Arizal, again, many hundreds of years ago, the Ari HaKadosh also brings the idea of being Reichitz, of using some Mayim just to make sure that one is completely Noki. Then he goes on further. Also, one needs zrizis. For example, one has to use the facilities at night. He says, liyad mitosoy. Those days there were no bathrooms. So what did they have? They had a bedpan. That's what he says, liyad mitosoy, by the side of his bed. That's what they had. They had a bedpan. So liyad mitosoy. But the zrizis is shiyokum. Yes, get up. V'yitol yodov. So you wash your hands. V'yelch b'mokim noki. Liv v'rach ha-shiyotza. You can't do it in front of the place where you relieved yourself. Because if you have your bedpan over here, you can't make a bracha right there. So you're going to have to move to a side, right? You have to move a distance away. And also, let's say, middle of the night, if you want to drink water, you have to wash your hands appropriately first. He says, yokum v'yitol yodo. Can't make a bracha without washing your hands. You make a bracha on the water in the beginning and the end. And let's say he's in bed, and he happens to hear thunder and lightning. He happens to be on his bed and he hears the sound of thunder or brokim, which is lightning. He sees lightning. Sheyamos, you get up and you wash your hands. You'd be quite lazy. You have to get up for that and wash my hands. Right? No. Sheyamos, vitul yodo v'yivarech. Right? Gamsorech also, Bechlali says, Lokum Mitosoi. The idea is also, you start your day early to be able to give HaKadosh Baruch Hu some Torah, davening, get up, start the day properly for Avodas Hashem. Not to fashluf, you know, Zman Tefillah. Not to oversleep the Zman Tefillah. Not to oversleep the Zman of Krishna. So you need for that, you need Jesus. It's much easier to lie in bed. I'll get up at time. I'm not working today. I'll get up 10 o'clock in the morning. No, this is an excuse. You are working today. You're working for Hashem. So it's for Hashem's avodah. You have to get up properly. So he says, "Gamsorach lokum mimetosu ulahavet tenuma mafapov," and to shake the slumber from his eyelids. Ulahashkim mimetoyre, get up mimetoyre. As a matter of fact, what is the exact when the Shulchan Aruch opens up? The first words of the Shulchan Aruch, Simen Aleph, Sif Aleph, Mamish. The first Simen and the first Sif. You know what the Shulchan Aruch says? Yizgaber Kari. It's not easy sometimes to get up. You have to use lion, strength of a lion. Yizgaber Kari, Lamoid Baboiker, Lavoidus Boiroi. Get up to serve Hashem. Yizgaber Kari. And the Mishnah Berurah says, especially this is difficult in the winter, because the winter is still dark outside. So then when you're getting up in the morning, you say to yourself very easily, the Yitzhar says, look, it's still there. They're going by the clock, it goes by the darkness, still dark, till the sun comes out. It must be long nights, long winter nights. So the Mishnah Berurah says, Ta'afim yashenu yitzroi b'choyrif, and even though the Yitzhar tries to entice him during the winter, Ech tamad b'boiker, first of all, it's very cold also in the winter, imagine. Now you're going to go to shul, it's such cold, isn't it much more comfortable under the covers? So you need, especially you have to have koyach to be misgabra on the Yetzirah. He's gabra kari. And he says, Mishnah Berurah says, Al Yishmaloi, don't listen to Yetzirah, that it's more comfortable, right, to sleep and remain under the warm covers. The Yashu ben Afshoi, make a cheshme, have appointment with the Melech Boss of Edom, right? You have appointment with the king. You just jump right out of bed, he says. Well, you have appointment, he says, with the Melech Malcham Lochim, every morning. You have an appointment, he says. The Yashu, if he says, Ilu, if you would have to, Lishore, Islamid, Lishore, the Melech Boss of Edom, Kamaho Yezor, Vizor, Islamid, Bashkome, to prepare yourself for that meeting. You get up early, you take a proper shower, get dressed, right? And make sure that you're really awake. After all, I have to speak to a king, I have to speak to the president, right? You have to speak to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, you also have to be ready. You can't just roll out of bed and just go. You have to be ready, you have to be proper state of mind, you have to prepare yourself. So all this involves zrizis. All this involves Caesar. They say about Yola Pian, you know, at the age of over his 80s in Yeshiva, when he already sort of was, he was in Yeshiva, but he was always able to slow down. But yet you would see him up very early in the morning. They go to up to him and he says, Rebbe, he says, why at your age, I mean, all your life you've been getting up so early, he says, but now at this point in your life, he says, allow yourself an extra hour of sleep. Why are you getting up so early for? He says, listen, he says, just the opposite. He says, being that I'm my old age, he says, sooner or later, he says, I'm going to have to meet my maker. Well, what's going to happen, he says? They're going to ask me in Shemayim, Rebellion, he says, were you an El Chayid? Did you follow the Shulchan Aruch? He said, yes. So what are they going to do? They're going to try to test me to see if I really followed. So they can open up a Shulchan Aruch and ask Rebellion, did you do what it says over here? And I'm going to have to say yes or no. Then he asked me on the second Halacha, did you do what it said over here? Yes or no. So imagine they open up the Shulchan Aruch and they open up the first Sif. I don't want to lose the first one right away. He says, I want to fail the first answer, he says. Maybe if I fail somewhere in Yerudaya, maybe in Choshe Mishpat somewhere, but starting with Arachayim, because not the first thing. Did you William Mekayim this one? You say, no, I wasn't Mekayim. So what's it going to look like, he says. I don't want to look that bad, he says. So I don't want to lose right by the first thing. They should chop me right away, gotcha. He said, by the first thing, he says, it's too embarrassing, he says. So it's Gabri Karil Avedi Saberi. Okay, we'll stop over here. Let's take a little bit of the sheet we have over here. The supplement of Zvizis. And do some of it. Very interesting here. It's from the Sefer Mishchas Shemen from Reb Chaim Shol Kaufman, who is a Rosh Yeshiva and a Mashgiach, one can say, in Gateshead. Zechon Lebrach, who is Nifter too young. And he was a tremendous Talmud Chacham, and he, in addition to saying Shiurim, a Lomdish Shiurim, but he was really a combination like a Mashgiach and a Rosh Yeshiva, because he also had a tremendous talent in Divrei Musar in Ashkofe. We'd come to America from time to time. I remember Yabod L'Chaim was on the same, shared the platform with him once in Lakewood at a large Mesiba. I spoke, and Reb Chaim Shol spoke at the time. They brought him in from England. And he brought me from Kugan Hills. when he would come to different areas, when they would hear that he's here, so different yeshivas would invite him to come speak to the Talmidim. So they put together, after his patira, also some of the stuff, some of the shmuzim from here and from there. Anyway, so he has here a topic a little bit on Zrizis also. And you see over here, the first item we have here is Bishvach Midas HaZrizis. He says, talking about the praise of how important the Midas HaZrizis is, zeal. Hanachsheves Yosem Etzem HaMitzah. He's trying to develop a thought that the way you do the mitzah is more than the actual mitzah. The input that you put into the mitzah carries with it more in Shemayim than the actual mitzah. And he goes out to point it out as follows. When Hashem commanded Avraham Avinu, right, by the Akedah, to go shecht his son, the Torah begins, prefaces with the following. Avraham got up in the morning, and he saddled his chamor. So the Gemara takes notice of the pasuk, Avraham Avinu got up in the morning. And what does the Gemara say about that? From here we see that when you do a mitzvah, you got to do it b'zrizis. Look, Hashem didn't tell him when to do it. Hashem said, listen, today, right, you have to bring your son Yitzchak on the Akedah. Well, today, you know, morning starts, let's say, at 6, right? And the day ends at 6. So for me, you could have said, look, I have time, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, 4 o'clock, still the day, yeah? I have still time to do it. For me, then, shechting your son. I mean, you're going to so rush to shecht your son. Okay, I'm going to do it. For me, you get up the first thing in the morning. Vayashkim Avraham Baboiker. You could have done it. It would have been a tremendous thing. A person's ready to go shecht his son because Hashem told him to do so. When he does it 3 o'clock in the afternoon, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the afternoon, it would still be a big nisayon to do it. But if Rav Avinu goes up in the morning, the Gemara learns out, Zerizim Magdim L'mitzvah. When it comes to do a mitzvah, Zerizim Magdim. You do it right, the earliest possible time. In the Yisroel HaKadoshim, we see a tremendous chiddush. In other words, we always look at the Akedah, the Nisoyin of the Akedah. How do we look at the test? What was the godliness of the Akedah? The fact that Rav Avinu was ready to fulfill the mitzvah of Hashem, right? To go ahead and shecht Yitzchak. The Svarim said, no, that was a Nisoyin. Because Hashem spoke him directly. Imagine if Hashem speaks to us directly. If you hear directly from Hashem, The Nisoyan was not that he did it. The Nisoyan was how he did it. How he did it. He didn't just do it. But he did it with a simcha. He did it with a zrizis. He did it with a zeal. He was vigilant. Right? He did it with alacrity. That was the Iker godless in the Maiso Akedah. The zrizis in his daris bo Avram l'kayim ha-mitzah. No, who says that? The Balatanya says that. Came course of Arab Balatanya Bigeris Akoidish. This is the Balatanya says. Yedua lechol goyro malas azrizis. It is known to everyone the greatness of the malas azrizis. He says, "V'hu nema v'nishnem de v'chazal." It is said and repeated many times in Chazal. La'olam yagdim odom l'dvar mitzvah. Chazal say a person should try to do a mitzvah, right? Yagdim, do it as early as you can. V'lom duzois, we learn it from Avraham Avinu, shenema v'akedo, tayashkim Avraham baboiker, right? Says here, zrizus d'Avraham Avinu olav asholem. It was that zrizus of Avraham Avinu. It is that Avraham Avinu's effectiveness is rizus that carries over to us for all the generations, because he says ki hakeda atzma eina nachsheves kol kach l'nesoyin godol. The actual hakeda, wanting to shech Yitzchok, to go ahead and shech Yitzchok, that itself is not such a great nesoyin. Why? First of all, guess why? You're talking about someone like Avraham Avinu. Number one. To someone as great as Avraham Avinu, right? If you would have the might, someone as great as Avraham Avinu to fulfill the Ratzon Hashem, for him it's not such a great Nisoyim. We can look at it from our vantage point as a great Nisoyim. But from the might of Avraham, in addition to that, Hashem spoke to him directly. Had Hashem even spoken to us directly, it would not have been such a Nisoyim, because Hashem directly spoke to you. So he says to the Erech Milus of Avraham Avinu, right? To the great Mile of Avraham Avinu, especially Bufat Hashem Ba'atzma Dibra Boy Kach Noaz Bincho, please take your son. Matter of fact, how many Kedoshim throughout history gave their lives also? And they were not as great as Avraham Avinu. Far from being Avraham Avinu's. People gave their lives, right? They were given the choice either to be baptized, right? Either be baptized or burned at the stake. The fact is, many did give their lives. So we see that many people were ready for the Akedah. So now imagine Avraham Avinu was so much greater. So what was his Nisoyin? His Nisoyin was not that he just did it. His Nisoyin was how he did it. That was the godless of Avraham Avinu. So there are many Kedoshim that Shemosu Nafshim HaKedushas Hashem. Avu Klishro Dibra Hashemom. And those Kedoshim Hashem didn't speak to them. They didn't hear the Hashem. And yet they did it. Those Kedoshim gave their lives. Rosh Avraham Avinu also says, Bezrizis Mifloi. He did it with incredible Nisrizis. To show how, right, how ready, willing, and able he was to do the Ratzon Hashem, to give an achas ruach liyotzroi. From Avraham Avinu, we use him as a model. From him, Chazal learn us to all the mitzvahs. We learn from all the mitzvahs bechlal. The fat maisa hatzdoka ho'oila ha'kulono. The Tanya talks about the maisa hatzdoka bechlal tzedoka. Sometimes we take out a dollar, right, to give to an oni. But we don't do it with zrizis. Like we take out that wallet or we give it to him. I have to give tzedakah. But what enhances the mitzvah is the way you do it. You do it with zrizis. You do it with a happiness. You're fulfilling a mitzvah. You do it with simchah. You be mekayim a mitzvah. That makes the mitzvah all the more greater and gives so much more meaning, much more meaning to the mitzvah. What I want you to look at over here is, look over here, number three. Look at number three. The Rishonim Mevarin. The Rishonim explain. Go to the second column, to the left, the middle column, in the middle. The Rishonim Mevarin. The Rishonim explain. He brings it from the Bnei Yisrael. She yesh the Mailah Gedoyla Lemidas Azrizis. She Mizdares Ha'odom Basiyas Hamitzah. There's a greater Mailah. This Rizis is even a greater Mailah. Yosher Me'etzah Ma'isa Mitzah. More than the Ma'isa Mitzah. The way you did it is greater than the actual Ma'isa Mitzah. Why? What's this for? Batam lozeh. Ki le'etzem kiu ma'maiseh. You listen to this. Because for the actual doing the act itself, for doing the act itself, he says, noisen HaKadosh Baruch Hu koyach v'siyuem normale shuchel l'kam ma'maiseh. Which means the follows. If Hashem commanded us to do a mitzvah, Hashem will give us the siyata d'shumayah to be able to do it. Hashem doesn't ask from us something that we can't do. So if Hashem told you to do this mitzvah, Hashem told you to do that mitzvah, when you are ready to do a mitzvah, there's a siyata d'shumayah on the actual mitzvah. So where's your chelik really? Where's your chelik? What are you giving? Because to do the mitzvah itself, Hashem is giving you all the siyata d'shumayah. But the zrizus, how you do it, that comes from ourselves alone. So what you're really giving to Hashem is the input of the mitzvah, the attitude towards the mitzvah. That's the real credit of your chelik. Because the actual mitzvah itself, Hashem is really helping you do it. It's not really you. So he makes the following statement. Because when it comes to Yetzim Kim HaMaisa, Noisa HaKadosh Baruch Hu Koyach V'Siyua, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Koyach and he gives Siyata D'Shemaya, he gives you the aid Milamailo from above, Sheyuchal HaKayim HaMaisa. Uma Shenisha Alodam Lasa Yishchal Koyach. So what is left for a person? If Hashem gives you all the Siyata D'Shemaya from above, all the aid comes from the Shemayim. So where's your chelik? What are you giving? What's your chelik? Hainarak HaZriz is Vasim Cheshubah. But the zrizis of how you do it, the swiftness, the quickness, right? The zealousness, the simcha, who nigash la soy soy, that you are right going to do that mitzvah. Lachain, therefore, kim shodam mitzidoi einoi toirim lepulas ha mitzvah rak ha simcha. What are you contributing? What you're contributing is, he says, the simcha and the zrizis. Because the etzem aisa kushbocha really, he's fueling that part. Kushbocha is giving you all that siyata d'shmai to do the actual mitzvah. What you are contributing from your chelik is the zrizus and the simcha. That's up to you. That's not up to Shemaim. That's up to you. And therefore, that's what you're contributing. L'chein nechsheves, therefore, hazrizus yoisei, says in the etzem hamaisen, more than the etzem hamaisen. Nu, Rabbeisai, in the remaining minutes, let's just talking about the nisoyin of the Akedah. And the nisoyin is that everyone goes through a certain nisoyin in life. And there are a lot of challenges that we go through in life. One time or another, a person is confronted and sometimes is even confounded. It sometimes could be financial situations, could be health issues, and the shyness come in all sizes and all packages and different shapes and different forms. Could be family issues. All different types of challenges that a person can have. And the truth is, the challenges that we go through in life, they test the strength of our character. The challenges of how we react and how we respond to those challenges, these really are challenges that test our character, and at times it's also a challenge and it tests our emunah, Hashem, to see how strong we are in our faith in Hashem. The same time, the good news is, because we have the advantage of being already fortified by spiritual ammunition. And that is because the fact that Hashem already tested Avraham Avinu, and we are the genetic makeup of what inherently Avraham Avinu possessed has been transmitted down to the generation, being that Avraham Avinu already personally went through all of these various tests, the Asor and the Siyonis, right, leading up to the Akedah. And therefore, Avraham Avinu actually ingrained, and strength, courage and durability into all of us to be able to persevere even against the most difficult types of trials. Now, why do we have to be tested? Doesn't Hashem know the outcome? Of course Hashem knows the outcome. Hashem knows the outcome whether we're going to pass or not even before we did the test. The purpose of testing us is not to test us, you know, when a teacher gives you a test, because he tests it because the teacher wants to know the outcome. When Hashem gives us what we call an assay, and it's not because Hashem needs to know. That's not the purpose. Hashem knows in advance. The purpose of an Nisoyan, writes Rabbeinu B'chaya, the purpose of an Nisoyan, the purpose of a test, that Kodesh Baruch Hu gives certain tests to certain individuals, the purpose of a test, Rabbeinu B'chaya, is to reveal the greatness of the individual who went through the test, or to make known to the world, like Avraham Avinu, who did at the Akedah, the level of how much commitment one has to have to Kodesh Baruch Hu. You know, that person stands out in the way that he passes the test. He serves as a model to the world as to how much commitment the person should have and can have when it comes to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Interestingly, the word nisoyon, not only means, which we use for test, also is from the word nes. Nes, you know, means, right, a banner or a flag. The Pasuk says, Lahamid al nes. Lahamid means you draw up a flag. When you hoist up a flag, Lahamid al nes, to hoist up a flag or a banner. What it means basically is, the person who goes through the test, he's used as a flag and a banner. This person's a model. This is a person, someone to follow. Learn from his commitment. Learn from his, right, from his loyalty to Hashem, whether it is individual or it's a nation that is being tested. Now, So when we talk about Nisayonis, let me just mention this, about the particular situation. This past Friday night, it was a Shalom Zachar in Shul. I mentioned from Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, we said on the pasuk that we say in the davening, it's such a beautiful pshat that one should always remember it, because it's not just a beautiful pshat, but it's something that we take with us. It'll certainly help us out, you know, in many different situations in our life. We say in the davening, you might remember the halalukas in the morning, we say Hanoisin Shele Katsomer, which simply means a kushbachu, you know, gives snow. When snow falls like white flakes, like wool, like fleeces of wool. Hanoisin Shele Katsomer, or like semer, like wool covers, you know, snow also covers the ground, like wool covers. Hanoisin Shele Katsomer, the white snow is like, it's like white wool. The Shlomo Zalman Orbach says there's a much deeper meaning. He said a very beautiful pshat. So when Hashem gives you an assignment, and Hashem gives you a test, you don't always realize, but He also gives you the strength to withstand that test. Many times we don't really know, we're not aware of the koyches that we possess. And ultimately, we might become aware only when we are tested. Hopefully we don't have to go through all these sorrows. But people find out, right, how much more strength they really have than they ever knew when they are being tested. And the klal is, the rule is that Hashem, when He gives you an nisayon, He gives you also the ability, He gives you the strength, He gives you the koyach to be able to overcome that nisayon. Sometimes you don't see it right away, but you have to know that. If you know that, that will give you some comfort knowing, yes, you have it within you. You have it within you. And you draw on that. So he said the following pshat. You know, when it snows, Rabbi Isai, outside, it's pretty cold, is it not? It snows, it's cold, it's winter. Shlomo Zalman said, Hashem only makes it snow, Hanoisin Shel Katsomer, according to how much wool you have to cover yourself. In other words, if you have a coat to keep warm, Hashem will give snow. You know, Hashem won't send more snow than you have wool to cover yourself. If Hashem sends snow, it means you have the ability to protect yourself also. If you don't have wool for a coat to cover yourself, be sure that you will not be tested more than that. Hanoisin Shelek, Hashem gives only that much snow, katsom, as to how much wool you have. If you have wool, you have snow also, you have cold, but you have wool. It means you have within you the ability to overcome, right, the challenge and the test. He only gives as much snow as how much wool. More snow than wool you're not going to have. Only measure for measure. If you have wool to warm yourself, you're also going to have snow. Hanoisin Shelek Katsomer, according to how much wool you have. There's a maase in the women's barracks in Auschwitz. Prisoners there were sleeping on the wooden boards that were stacked one on top of the other like shelves. You can imagine there was very little crawl space for the women to get in. And being that, and once they managed to slide in, they were forced to crowd together. So it was very little room, right, once they were in position. That's partially the way it was constructed over there. Most nights, they went to sleep hungry and in pain. And very often, many of the women would die at night in sleep from starvation, malnutrition, or illness. It was a common occurrence, daily occurrence. The sleep boards, you can imagine, were no mattresses. Were hard and were uncomfortable. But in one of the barracks, interesting, on a second tier, alongside a window, where a breeze would occasionally come in, there was one thin, dirty mattress. Whatever the reason. There was one thin, dirty mattress next to the window. So by the standard that the women were used to, that was a luxury. To be able to sleep on that dirty mattress and be next to the window to have some air at the same time. So what would they do? They would take turns. They simply take turns. It would be fair that one woman would always sleep on a mattress. They would take turns sleeping on that, yes, decrepit mattress. They would take turns, and there were so many women in the barracks, you know, that a woman would get her turn about once every 2 months. Once every 2 months, that would be the schus. 2 months from now, I'll be able to sleep on that mattress. Once every 2 months. And by the way, if she was still alive. And she was still alive. Once in 2 months. So you can imagine everybody would be looking forward to that evening. To be able to have the opportunity to sleep on that, as we said, that dirty mattress. In the barracks there was a teenage girl. She's a teenage girl. By the virtue of her age, she was able, she was young, she would be able to withstand, you know, the vigorous workload during the day, better than some of the older women. But Lamaisa, she was exhausted also every evening, and therefore she was looking toward her turn to sleep on the mattress. So when her evening turn came, finally came her evening, this young teenage girl, her name was Chaya, so a young teenage, her turn came to sleep on the mattress, so a middle-aged woman comes over to her. A middle-aged woman comes over to her and says, Chaya, there's a sickly, elderly woman who seems to be on the verge of death. You know, so I feel very bad, she said to Chai. I feel very bad asking you to give up your turn, because after all, you deserve your chance to enjoy sleeping on that mattress. But you know, he says, but there's this woman who is so terribly ill. Who knows if she's still going to make it even through the night. Please give up your turn and allow this sickly, deathly ill woman to sleep on that mattress. Chai was saying to herself, going through her mind, if this woman was so close to death, he says, what difference would what might make? But yet, after all, a Yiddish neshama, he says, how can you refuse that? And she made the decision. She's going to give up her night, which means the next time would be, who knows when, going again. Finally, so she made that decision, and she gave up, right? She gave up, and even though, as we said, under these inhuman conditions, she would find the spiritual strength to do a chesed that she would never be repaid for. Never be repaid for. By the way, there's a vart, before I go further, another 2 minutes, mamish 2 minutes. There's a vart. The Gemara tells us, you know, that a person should never lose faith. The Gemara says in Brachas, "Afil a cherev chado munachas al tzevori shalodam al yisiyayish min arachimim." That even if there's a sword, a sharp sword, on your neck, don't despair, right? From hoping for rachamim, even for the last minute. A person should always have betochen and faith, even the last moment. "Afil a cherev chado munachas al tzevori al yisiyayish min arachimim." So an Adam Godel once said, he was good in Drush, so he said there's another pshat as well, and this is referring to the people in the Holocaust. What was incredible of many of the people, and there's many stories of that, by the way, those who have written up many of these stories of the behavior of people in the Holocaust, even though what the Nazis, Yimach Shemon, tried to do is reduce human people to subhuman, right, behavior, right, lower than animals, yet the Jewish dignity remained so high in many that people not only be able to retain their dignity as much as possible, they were even ready to do chesed with the small rations that they received. They would sometimes share with what they needed, but their life was at stake. They would share from the little bit that they had with someone who had less. So he said, that's the godless of a Yid. And he said pshat like this, even if there's a sword on your throat, right? Your life is in danger from day to day. Don't give up hope from having rachmanis, from doing chesed to somebody else. In other words, the koich of a Yid is that even though his life is also on the line, but he still has the ability to do chesed, even the last moments of his life. Al yisyaish min arachman means having rachmanis on somebody else. Don't give up. Say, oh no, it's not time for me to have rachmanis. My life is here. My life is here. Who knows? No. Doesn't make a difference. You have one more second to live. You can still do chesed that one more second. Anyways, so she made the decision, Chaya, she said she gave up her mattress. It was a tremendous sacrifice on her part. She gave up her mattress. You can imagine the tears rolled down her face, she, you know, realizing the situation, what's going on. And the woman who received the mattress just gave her a brocha. And she said to her that the Bayin Shalom should repay you and should bless you. That night, all the women, they crawled back into their places, tried to get some sleep. It was a sweltering, humid night, right? And this Chaya now was not sleeping on a mattress. She was sandwiched with another two women there, hot and muggy, you know, and drained. 2 hours later, you know, as everybody was trying to rest, Nazi soldiers, listen to this, were drinking and carrying on just as drunkards as they were. Two officers got into an argument, drunk, and the soldiers took sides. So now you had sides, soldier against soldier. They took sides, yelling, screaming, woke up many of the women. Suddenly soldiers started firing guns in the air at random in a drunken jest. A soldier aimed at the poor woman at the window, and he shot the woman to death. Had Chaya been on that mattress, she would have been dead. was her act of chesed. She gave it up to another woman. It saved her life. Hashem had his plans with that woman. But that act of chesed, that nesoyim, that she gave up her mattress for that woman, that ended up saving her life. That woman that was shot to death by those soldiers. So here again, Rabbi Yisrael, this is what we see. You can pass the test, you can be challenged, but that challenge is not challenging your life, but that challenge, in fact, is what gives you life. So this is something we should remember. This is how we should look at it. Many times you have difficulties. Realize the difficulties are not standing in the way of your life. Who knows if it's not really a message somehow helping you to enhance your life and to be able to let you really enjoy life at the end in a much, much better way. No, Rabbi says, at the end of the summer, our bracha is to everyone here that we should be able to have, first of all, a very healthy summer, both beruchnius and begashmius, both ways. And as Hashem, we should come back healthy and well, and be able to continue again and start again, and to be able to continue to grow. And we should be zaycheh, yes, it's not too early to start to wish everybody a ksiv achsim ha-toyve, and by Hashem to come together again, all the more enhanced, and the lahagul teire, adira. Thank you.